Deuteronomy to, I think, to Deuteronomy. I don't know where I'm preaching from. Anywhere in the Bible's good. Deuteronomy chapter 3, okay? Deuteronomy chapter 3, and while you're turning there, I don't know if it's necessary for me to say this or not, but look, I don't know if y'all been experiencing this, but I have started getting a multitude of text messages that say, some of them say something like this. This is one I just got. It says, Jeanette, AT&T is giving you $200 as a thank you for your business, but you must claim it by today. Let me just say this to you.
Come on, brother.
Don't hit anything on that.
Sir. Never.
Don't hit anything on that. Just delete it.
Amen.
Just delete it. Get rid of it. Those are scams. I have gotten the same text message from 5 different phone numbers. I mean, the exact same text message from 5 different phone numbers saying something to the effect that, you know, I've got my award coming and, you know, you just need to get in touch. Folks, you know, hey, don't go for that, all right?
Amen.
Let's not be so desperate for something free, all right,
amen,
that we do that. It's my understanding if you do that, you open it,
yes,
that
sir,
they can get all the info off of your phone, all your contacts, and all that kind of stuff. And so, just don't do it, okay?
Amen.
Just don't do it. Anything that is at all suspicious today, just figure it's crooked, all right? Just figure that it is crooked. I got this one that says your trial can be upgraded to premium for free now. Do not hesitate to do it. I'm not on trial. All of that kind of stuff, just stay away from it, all right? Here's another one, Spectrum Mobile, your bill of, wait a minute, that is legit. Bummer, that one's good. Now it doesn't mean I owe it, I'm not behind, it's gonna be paid automatically. Why did they send me a text message to say, we're gonna pay your bill automatically, you know, it's gonna be charged your credit card, and yeah, I know that, so just do it, don't tell me about it, you know. So, but anyway, be aware of that, okay? What a goofy day.
Amen.
What a goofy day we live in. There are so many people in our day trying to figure some way to rob and steal and anything they can honestly, dishonestly to make money. They'll work so hard to keep from working legit. And I don't know, maybe it's just, you know, maybe we're so desperate for something free that I say we as people in general, so we hook on to those kind of things. Or you get something like that to Jeanette, you know, and you want, I'll let them know they've got the wrong number. No, don't do that either, okay? They know they've got the wrong number. I just wonder what Jeanette did to them, because that's the name that's always on my text. Anybody else got a text for Jeanette? You have? Okay, well, good. Somebody's looking out for her. Just be aware of that, all right? Just be aware of that. I did get scammed one time with a computer, and so now I'm done. You know, there's no way. There's no way we're going to do it. They're crooked, and so we just be aware of it, all right?
Amen.
I'm going to say this. They scammed my mom out of hundreds and hundreds of dollars before she died. And it got to the point that my brother and I had to take away her ability to handle the finances, because she was a good-hearted person, and she would do things she shouldn't have done, and cost her a lot of money. And so she also such a good-hearted person. I'm still getting magazine that she subscribed to, and she's been gone a couple of years. All right, she paid up the magazine subscription for years. And I know Mom never read this magazine, but I get it, all right? Comes like every 2 weeks. One of them stinking rags you can see on the, you know, on the, that Walmart or something like that, you know, Kroger or something. And I thought, Mom didn't read that. Then she got some other ones, and I go, I know Mom never read this, no way in the world. And so I get them and I throw them in the trash can. And some of you may have seen one in my car, and I don't want you to think, well, Boy, preacher's reading some strange stuff. I just hadn't got to the trash can yet, all right? So I really do not care at all what happens to Harry and Meghan. I don't care. The only thing I'd care about them is I hope they don't die and go to hell.
Amen. Yes, sir.
But other than that, I don't care one bit about what they do,
no, sir.
Where they go, what they say, how they've been abused, you know, how they were mistreated by the royal family.
Right.
Personally, I've been mistreated by the royal family.
Amen. Yes, sir.
I don't remember the last time they even got in contact with
Amen.
Me.
Preach it. Yes,
I haven't heard from them in years. And I've been offended. I've been offended by that. So, why people are interested, I don't even know how those magazines stay in business. I don't care what happens to Angela Jolie or Brad Pitt or any of those other people whose names I have no idea who they are. But it seems like the world cares about them. But I do care about you.
Amen.
I do care about you. Deuteronomy chapter 3. Look, if you will, down in verse 23. The Bible said, "And I besought the Lord at that time, saying, O Lord God," now this is Moses, "Thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness and thy mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or in earth that can do according to thy works and according to thy might? I pray then, let me go over and see the good land that is beyond Jordan, that goodly mountain and Lebanon. But the Lord was wroth with me for your sakes and would not hear me. And the Lord said unto me, Let it suffice thee, speak no more unto me of this matter. Get thee up into the top of Pisgah, and lift up thine eyes westward and northward and southward and eastward, and behold it with thine eyes, for thou shalt not go over this Jordan." We've been going through the life of Moses on Wednesday night, for the most part on Wednesday night. This is, if you've been counting, this is a 30-second message preached from the life of Moses. And boy, over and over and over in that life, we've seen Moses bow his knee or prostrate himself before the Lord and call on God.
Amen.
We've seen him over and over and over where the Bible said, and he prayed. And he prayed, all right? Most of those times, his prayer was on behalf of Israel. He was praying for his people. And boy, he got on his face before God and he prayed. Over and over, we saw God answer that prayer. We saw God say to Moses, "All right, I'll grant you your request. I'll give you what you're asking for." But I want you to notice this time, it's different.
That's right. Yes, sir.
This time, it's different. You see, sometimes God says no.
That's right.
To his children.
Amen.
Sometimes God says no. When I was raising my kids, I made it a habit for a long time, for many years. We'd go to the grocery store and we'd be there as a family. And you know how everything in those aisles, when you're going to the checkout, everything is at kids' eye level.
Oh, yes. Amen.
And I made it a habit of whatever they asked for, the answer was no.
Right.
No. Now you say, why? Well, because we were poor and we couldn't afford a 50-cent candy bar. Now, that's not true. We could have afforded a 50-cent candy bar.
Yes.
But I made it a habit to say no to them. You said, why'd you do that? Because I like to be me.
Amen.
No, I wanted to teach my kids to handle it when somebody said no.
Sir.
I wanted them to know what it was to be told no.
Right.
You can't have what you want, all right? You can't have it. Now, oftentimes, if they didn't ask, I would get it. Because
right.
I knew them. I knew what they liked.
And
I knew it, and oftentimes I get it. But if they asked, it was always no. They probably figured it out because they quit asking, all right? And they were better off when they quit asking. But you see, sometimes as a parent, you have to learn to tell your children no. And by the way, we not only do we need to tell them no, they need to hear no. But wait a minute, so do you.
Come on,
so do you. It's okay for you to be told no. There is a part of the Christian world tonight that seems to think that God is little more than a genie who is released from a bottle just to do their bidding. And any time they ask for something, all they've got to do is spiritually rub the genie. He will come forth. They'll make their request, and he is supposed to give it to me. Hey, I want to tell you, those folks have a difficult time thinking that God would ever say no. But he does. But he does. Hey, a lot of kids are spoiled today because they never heard the word no. But everybody needs to be told no occasionally. But I want to say this to you. When God says no, it is always for a reason. It is always for a reason. That reason has nothing to do with him being mean or dismissive at all. He's God. And I want you to understand his no is just as important as his yes is. It's just as important that we hear the no as it is we hear that yes. We prayed tonight some specific prayer requests. We encourage you to pray and ask God for some things for other people. Amen. I want you to know this. Sometimes God says no.
Right.
Sometimes he says no. So I want to look tonight at when God said no to Moses. When God said no to Moses. Now listen, the whole goal of Moses was to get the children of Israel into Canaan. That was what he was called to do. God called Moses back in Exodus chapter 3. You read that account of how God appeared to him and out of the burning bush and spoke to him, all right? And it was that, you know, I've chosen you. You're going to lead my people out. And, hey, it was like all other calls of God. The call of God, the Bible says, is without repentance. Without repentance. And God called him. And once Moses did like most people do. He argued with God. Basically, Moses said, hey, I'll just remind you, you've got the wrong guy. You need to pick somebody else. There's other people who are better at doing this than I would be. And let me explain to you why I can't do it. Moses run those excuses by him. God took care of every one of them. But I'll say this for Moses. Once Moses got in, he was in. Once Moses got in, he was all in for leading the children of Israel out. And you read through the book of Exodus and the book of Numbers and the book of Deuteronomy. You say, why'd you leave out Leviticus? Because it's not so much in there in Leviticus about it. But you read Exodus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and you'll see how Moses led them. He loved them. He pled for them over and over again. From a human standpoint, there's no way we can fault Moses.
Amen.
We can't fault Moses. We can't come and say, well, Moses, you know, look, there's just no way we can do it. He was everything a leader could have been for those people. He did everything he could have done for them. He was the leader God wanted, all right? But we get here, and God says to Moses, you can't go in. Look with me, in Deuteronomy chapter 34. Deuteronomy chapter 34. God's speaking to Moses, and he lets him see it, all right? He lets him see the land, all right? Deuteronomy chapter 34, just want you to look at verse 4. And the Lord said unto him, this is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither.
Amen.
Hey, Moses wasn't going. Now, if you've been with us, or you at least know the scripture, you know why. Sin kept Moses out of the promised land. Listen, I'll tell you, sin keeps us from a lot of things God wants to give us. Sin prevents us from enjoying a lot of the blessings God wants to give us. Sin does that. Sin does that. Man, I worked with kids in Christian school for 45, 46 years. I worked with teenagers for years. I've seen, especially in a Christian school, There's oftentimes there's things you'd like to do with kids in school, but because of their honoriness and because of their disobedience, you can't do it.
Amen.
You can't do it. I wouldn't take a group of kids. I've taken kids all kinds of places and to do all kinds of things,
right.
But I'm not taking anybody anywhere I can't trust to listen to me.
Right.
I talked to Brother Dunbar. We was talking about going to camp. This is early on when he was working for us, and I told him, I said, man, we've taken groups of kids to youth camp. We've been to Colorado, we've been to Arkansas, we've been to Oklahoma, we've been to San Antonio, down around that part of the country, taking young people all kinds of places. I've taken youth conference trips up to Indiana and just been all over and taking groups everywhere. But man, we always let them know right up front, hey, you're going to do what I tell you to do. And the day comes you don't. I said, if I take you to Colorado and you won't cooperate and you think I'll do my thing and I'm going to lose, I said, we'll put your hide on a bus and you'll be on the way back to Fort Worth.
That's right.
But you won't put up with it. Won't put up with it. And we never had to do that, all right? We never had to do that. But there's been times where I couldn't do things with some people,
yes,
because I knew they wouldn't be obedient. I'll be honest, I think there's things God oftentimes wants to do to us and for us, but our sin keeps us from getting the things he would like to give us. And I'll be honest with you, I think multitudes of times man doesn't realize what he misses because of sin. We don't realize what we're missing. Okay? Now God's still taking care of us, but we don't realize what we're missing because of sin. Moses sinned, and God said, you're not going in. You're not going in. And a lot of people thought, well, that's rather harsh. It seemed like a little thing at the time. God told Moses, you go out and speak to the rock, and it'll give forth water. Moses struck the rock twice. And there's all kinds of spiritual application there. I'm not going to try to go there, but I just want to say, it seemed like such a little thing. And I'll be honest, I kind of wonder about a lot of the people in the nation of Israel at that time, if they really grasped it, because they were there, they had complained to Moses, they wanted water, and he's angry with them, and he let them know he was angry with them. He said, you're a bunch of rebels, and he struck the rock, but it's okay with them, they got water, and that's what they wanted. And I got a feeling a multitude of them overlooked it, and they didn't think about, well, wait a minute, he was supposed to speak to that rock, but he struck that rock. It seemed like a little thing, but obviously it wasn't little to God. Disobedience is never a small thing. Never. It's not something, okay? It's not something we say it's not a big deal. It's a big deal with God. We have a tendency to think it's just a little sin. Just a little sin? Wait a minute. Not a little sin. It's all major sin. All right? It's all major sin. Whatever you think of as the little sin, it required Jesus to go to the cross and die, shed his blood for us so we could go to heaven. Everybody sitting here has not committed what we would think gross sin. The truth of the matter is, there's good people going to be in hell.
Yes, sir.
Good people in the eyes of the world.
Right.
Because the world looks at them and they think, well, man, you know, that was the best neighbor you could have ever had in a million years. They were just kind-hearted as they could be. You never heard a bad word from them. And, man, everything, their life, boy, they were just good folks, just good people. But they were sinners.
Right.
You see, it doesn't take major sin. And I use that word in the way we think of it.
Come on, brother. Yep.
Does it take major sin to disobey God? We have to be so careful because we don't know what sin might cost us.
Amen.
We don't know. Moses, when he struck that rock, never thought, in his anger, never thought, this will keep me out of the promised land.
No.
But it did. It did. And it was that sin that caused God to say to Moses, no. Now, let me say this to you. It's not just sin that makes God say no. Not just sin. There's sometimes we ask for things that truthfully we just don't need. And God says no because he knows what's best for us. He knows what's best for us. Truth be told, most Christians, most people in general, we have this idea, and I'm not thinking, I don't believe you sit at night every night saying, Lord, would you please give me $10 million? Would you please give me $10 million? I don't think you do that. But the truth be told, if God blessed the majority of people, can't handle that. Have you ever researched what happened to people that won big paydays in the lottery? Most of them can't handle it. Truth of it ruined them. It ruined their life. It ended their marriage. It cost them their kids. And sometimes cost them their kids' lives. I mean, it ruined everything. But the world thought, man, they were blessed. They had all that money. Hey, God tells you and I no to some things we ask for because he knows we don't need it. He knows we don't need it. There's not a one of you that's raised children that have not said to your child, I hope, at some point you said, no, you can't have that, because you knew they didn't need it. You knew it would harm them. You knew, okay, if I get them that, they're going to be sick tonight. And maybe you didn't do it because you didn't want them to be sick. You just didn't want to be up with them while they were sick, all right? But, I mean, we understood that what they're asking for is not good. It wouldn't help them. Sometimes God tells us that. Hey, I believe sometimes we ask for things that's not in the will of God. So God says no. God says no to us. And we have to realize when God said no to Moses, there was a reason. And sometimes we have to realize that our disobedience results in a loss of privilege. Numbers 20, verse 12 tells us that his sin was before the eyes of the children of Israel. It was there. It was in front of the whole congregation. A public sin can result in the loss of public privilege.
Yes, sir.
It can do it. It can do it. If there's public sin, it oftentimes needs to be dealt with publicly. If it's private sin, it doesn't have to be exposed to everybody.
Right.
Doesn't have to be done that way, okay? There's not a reason to do it. But man, oftentimes when it's public, it really causes us to lose privilege. Hey, we have seen in times past. Now today, I don't know if anybody cares.
Right.
Anybody worldly cares.
Right.
But in times past, we've seen politicians lose their position because of their sin. We've seen that taken away from. Now, in later years, we've seen politicians and the world goes, oh, big deal, don't worry about it, you know. But, hey, in time, it can cost privilege, all right? It can cause us the loss of privilege. One of the great losses of privilege is sin and does with us. It interferes with our communication with God. My Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, he will not hear me. So maybe sometimes the reason we don't get a prayer answered is there's sin intervening. And it needs to be dealt with before we come to God and pray. So God's going to tell us no, all right? God's going to do it. Hey, Moses, he was angry. His disobedience was an anger. Multitudes of people get in trouble because of anger. Multitudes of people get in trouble because of anger. I've been in houses before, houses of members of this church, where there's holes in the wall. Because in anger, people living there put their fists through the wall. I said, who was it, preacher? My brother. No, I was kidding. It wasn't my brother. Okay. Listen, anger can get us in trouble. Anger gets us in trouble. I could confess, you know, anger got me in trouble in times past. But I've asked God to forgive me, so we ain't bringing it up again, all right? But it can get us in trouble, all right? Here's a sad fact, folks. Sometimes it takes a long time to realize the full pain of sin. Sin doesn't always blossom overnight.
Amen.
Sin doesn't necessarily blossom overnight. Hey, there was a period of time between Moses when he struck that rock and when we got to the scripture where we read and God said, Moses, you're not going over. Now, he had already told him he wasn't. Don't misunderstand me. I know that. But sometimes the realization of the real pain of sin doesn't occur right now. It's not right now. It's not, well, I did it, and man, it hurt, and I had to deal with it right. No, not like that. It's like when I was a kid, and my dad would say, son, when we get home, you're going to get a whipping. That's the hardest journey to take. Man, Lord, Dad, just now. How about just go ahead? No. Get home. The pain was delayed. Pain was delayed down there. You know, sometimes we as human beings, we think, I've got away with that disobedience, and it hadn't cost me anything. Well, wait a minute. You just haven't got to payday yet. Just hasn't occurred, all right? Just hasn't occurred, but it is coming. You cannot violate the Word of God and get away with it. The payment will come. The pain of that sin will take place. It was put off for Moses. Moses went to God after God had told him, no, you can't go. And really, he said, Lord, would you reconsider? Would you give me that chance? And God said, nope. You're not going over. And ultimately, it was right here in Deuteronomy chapter 34. Here's Moses standing, all right? Here's Moses standing there on Mount Pisgah. And God showed it to him. God showed him the land. Now, truth is, if you were standing on Mount Pisgah right now, you couldn't have seen all of that land. I'm going to be honest, I believe God helped Moses' eyesight. I believe God helped Moses' eyesight. You've seen advertisements for those little bitty gadgets that'll bring something up from 57 miles away, and they're right here. Well, I believe God did something to Moses' eyesight. I believe Moses saw the land, buddy. I believe he could see it all the way to the Mediterranean Sea from Mount Pisgah. He could see up to what we today call the Golan Heights. He could see that all looking to the north. Then he looked his eye. He saw the land. He saw the land. Now you hear me. Death revealed what life could have attained. Death revealed what life could have attained. It was right there at death. And Moses saw, that's where I could have been. That is where I could have been. It was there that he got a look, all right? It was there. It was there before him. All that he had hoped for so many years, all that he had looked forward to for so many years, there it was. But he couldn't go in. But he saw it. He saw it. I wonder how many of God's people are going to get to heaven one of these days, and we're going to find out what we could have had. We're going to find out, hey, what we could have had, what could have been, what could have been. If we had not taken so much many years of our life and wasted it, or if we had not said no to God, or if we had not been disobedient to God when we were at a very momentous occasion in life, at a crossroads in our life, and we disobeyed God, and we're going to find out, hey, this is what you could have had. This is what you could have had. Like, you know, I hate to compare it to this, but just to give you the thought, it's like those game shows, you know, you pick door one, door two, or door three. And they wind up picking the one that gets what they call zonked, all right? And it's something that nobody wants. It's one of those gifts that you get when you go to a timeshare presentation. You're going to get a spa. You're going to get a spa. You get your own personal spa. And you do. It's in a little cardboard box. You have to inflate it. Now, you know what I'm talking about? I've got one of those. It was such a blessing, all right? And we look at those kind of things, and that's what you get. But then they say, here's what you could have won. Here's what you could have won if you'd have picked door number two. And man, it's just amazing what's there.
Amen.
Maybe it's a new car.
Right.
Maybe it's furnish your house almost with all kind of appliances. Maybe it's a trip somewhere, kind of a trip of a lifetime type thing. And it says, you could have had that, but hey, you could take home that.
Right.
Plastic bathtub with all the rubber duckies in it, all right? But I wonder how many times we're going to find out after death. Well, maybe when we're standing before God, we get a chance to see this is what could have been. This is what I could have done. This is what I wanted to do for you, but you wouldn't let me. You wouldn't let me. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. Let me say this to you tonight in winding up. Number one, learn to say no. I mean, learn to take no from God. Learn to take no from God. Don't get angry. Don't get bitter. That just makes things worse. God has a reason. If God tells you no, He's got a reason for telling you no. And don't say, well, you let so-and-so. Forget about that.
Amen.
You're not so-and-so. You're you. God has a will for your life. Learn to take no. If God says no, learn to take no from God. Just do it. I'll be on right here on Mount Pisgah. No indication. Moses didn't say, now come on, God, please. No, he knew that was the answer. And he took it. He took it. Listen, if God tells you no, then it's just no. I've heard preachers say multitudes of times, and I agree with it. Well, when you pray, there's three answers. One's yes, one's no, and the other one is wait a while. Wait a while. But if God tells you no, He just tells you no. We read where Paul prayed. He said he had a thorn in the flesh. He asked God three times to take care of it, to remove it from him, and God said no. He said, my grace is sufficient.
Amen.
He said, I'm not going to do it. Learn to take no from God. Realize this. Realize just that little bit of disobedience you're thinking about is not worth it. It's not worth it. That little bit of maybe, you know, you're considering and maybe you're right there on the verge, you're angry and you're ready to snap. Don't do it. It's not worth it. It's going to cost you more than you could ever realize, all right? It could result in a no from God one day when you're going to want to hear Him say yes. You're going to want to hear Him say yes, but He's going to say no. Remember?
Right.
Remember? Remember back there when I told you? Hey, Moses, you remember when I told you to speak to that rock? You're not going into Canaan. Maybe that same thing occurs in your life, and you're at a point there. Hey, that just realize that little bit of disobedience, you think that I've just got to have my little fit, and if I can just throw my little fit, I'll be okay, my little temper tantrum. Wait a minute, that may cost you something. Later on, God may say to you no when He would have said yes. It can involve loss here in this life. It can result in pain in this life. And then it could bring the realization of how much you really lost when you're standing before God. Well, listen. Be willing to take no from God. Be willing to take that no. But watch out. Be willing to be obedient. So maybe God won't have to tell you no. He won't have to tell you no. It's up to us in our hands. Would you bow your heads tonight? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Listen, just ask you tonight, look, are you being obedient to God? Are you being obedient to Him? Are you doing tonight what He wants you to do? Or are you kind of, Moses didn't say no to God, but he disobeyed God. And it cost him. The world would look at it and say it was just a little thing, but it was important to God. God's word's important to Him, and you and I can't disobey what He says. because we don't think it's important. Don't let that happen. Maybe you need to come tonight. Maybe you need to spend a little time at the altar. We're going to have a word of prayer. Mrs. Noble's going to play. You're going to have the opportunity to come. We'll give you a little bit of time, all right? If you need to do business with God, let's do it tonight. Do it before you get into the problem. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd help us tonight. Help us see our need. Lord, help us to realize if you say no, there's a reason. There's a reason. Lord, there was a reason you said no to Moses. And Lord, it's not always because of sin. But Lord, you're going to tell us no sometimes. Help us to take it. Help us to be obedient. Lord, help us to live to please you, not to please ourselves. Lord, bless this time tonight. But just take a moment. Spend with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.